8:11 here on KGGF, 63 degrees in Coffeyville. We have James Cooper joining us from K-State Research and Extension Wildcat District. Good morning, James. How are you doing?
Yeah, good morning. Doing good.
Yeah, and good to have another James here on the air.
Yeah, I can't get enough Jameses.
No, absolutely. So we've got a few events coming up. Can you tell us about those?
Yes, and so I know I've said it many times, but the Makers Fair will be this Saturday.
Excellent.
So the Makers Fair and Extension Expo, it is going to be awesome. I mean, we are just going to do so much stuff. There's going to be demonstrations throughout the day, craft vendors. There will be, I mean, really everything, petting zoos. There's going to be stuff for kids, stuff for adults. It's going to be an awesome festival. So I've talked about it so many times. Go to our website. Go to our Facebook event page for the Makers Fair and Extension Expo. It'll be this Saturday, the 17th, at the Parsons Research Center. And this will be from 9 to 4 o'clock. So if you're free, please come to this. It's going to be so much fun. So besides that, I've talked about so many times, we also have some other programs coming on later on, too. So right now, they're just about to start the Next Day Strong, Stay Healthy. And Independence, this will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 to 11. And this will be September 27th through November 22nd. It's a periodic class for kind of the old people to get active, you know.
Sure,
it's kind
sure.
of what it is.
No, that's great.
It's always so much fun. They have a lot of fun. So Wendy's Brome Sedge program, that'll be on October the 8th from 11 to 2 in Fredonia. Basically, she's been doing this research on Brome Sedge for a while now, and now she has enough to actually present some data and how to actually control Brome Sedge. And really, you know, some things that we kind of thought could control it, now we actually have some research to show what does control it. So October the 8th in Fredonia.
Okay, very good. And for those of you listening, might not know what Brome Sedge is. Can you just explain real quick?
Brome Sedge, also called poverty grass, got a couple of other names.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's actually a native, but it's a native that grows very well in very low pH and fertility soils, and it's not a very good grass, to be honest. Cows will eat it in the beginning, but then later on in the season it gets really bitter. They don't like it at all, and it can overtake a field. I personally have about 10 acres that's just nothing but Brome Sedge, so you know, I need to do something about that.
No.
So yeah,
well, speaking of grass and those sort of things, I think we need like 9 inches of rain now in this area to get out of the drought. It's been a continuing, you know, every day on open line we have someone calling looking for hay. It's a problem. I know many farmers are considering baling their failed soybean crops, but there might be a problem with that. Can you explain?
Yes, and so, you know, soybeans, they make great hay. They really do. I mean, it's not very much forage per acre because we're talking about drought soybeans here. So you're going to get maybe one at the most tons of dry matter to the acre. But they can have lots of protein. And it's pretty digestible, probably 60% digestible. So pretty good. The problem is that most soybean herbicides are not labeled for hang. It is a very large caveat. And so, I mean, this includes some of our most commonly used herbicides: Anthem, Cadet, Liberty, Outlook, Select, Ultra Blazer, Zidua Pro, and a lot of our 2,4-D formulations, which is our new, you know, most of our new soybean genetic formulations, they are on that list. We're talking probably 90% or more of the soybeans have some one of these herbicides included on it. Oddly enough, Extendamax, which is a really new one, technically it's permitted to be hay.
Hmm.
I was surprised by that. There probably are some rules that I'm not really quite sure about as far as the delay that you have between spray and hang, but it's actually on there. So maybe there are some Extendamax beans around that can be used. Of course, glyphosate, the very common Roundup, those have a day restriction, but those can be used too, but nobody just uses glyphosate anymore. That's old school. You know, there are also plenty of herbicides that I did not mention. Basically, the older the class of herbicide, the more likely it is that you can use it to be hayed. But the vast majority of soybeans now have one of the new herbicides. So, you know, many of these herbicides that are restricted to use on soybeans, they are not restricted on other crops like corn, you know, milo, all that, even pasture situations. You can actually do some haying on these other crops. So it's less to do with really what the herbicide is, but more to do with what the label says. They never tested the soybeans for haying on the label. And so therefore the label says that you cannot use it for hay. It's more of an EPA and KDA situation rather than a safety of herbicide, but they don't know because they never tested it. Uh-uh. There are some herbicides though that aren't labeled for anything. There's no haying involved on that label at all. So there's a little bit of both.
So what should farmers do if they have one of, they've been using one of these herbicides and they'd like to bale their soybeans, but one of those herbicides they have is on the restricted list. What do they need to do?
There is no good answer. I hate to say that. It is. I don't have an answer to this. It's basically a salt in the wound. It really is.
Because, and to make everything worse.
Yes. They have a failed soybean crop. They need hay desperately. And now the label says that it cannot hay that soybean. That's just what the herbicide. There's no wiggle room around the label.
Yeah.
And there's nothing going to be coming down from the state that says, you know what, we're not going to worry about the label for these. Go ahead and hay your soybeans. It's an emergency situation. That's not what the KDA does. I mean, it's the label is the law, basically, yep. is what they yep. say. So the only silver lining is that soybeans are very high in nitrogen. And so if you plow them under, if it's pretty much not even worth harvesting, and some fields are not, if it's not worth harvesting, plow them under, that nitrogen will be there for the next crop. Mm-hmm. Not so much the wheat that we're hoping to plant if it actually ever does rain, but more for next year. There will be some of that nitrogen will come in later on for the wheat, basically when it's starting to fill the grain. But, you know, that's a pretty small silver lining, yeah. to be honest.
This is just not a good situation.
Yeah, it's not a good situation. And, you know, I'm not the KDA, so I'm not going to report anybody to anything. If somebody does go ahead and bale their beans and, you know, plead ignorance, maybe they didn't know, you know, you won't hear that from me. But I need farmers to know that is a possibility. It is technically against the label to mm-hmm. do some of this stuff. So, you know.
But producers are being faced with some really tough situations right now.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it won't be very long before our ponds start to run out of water. That's already starting to happen now.
And blue-green algae.
Oh, yeah. And blue-green algae for the ponds that are just getting down there real low. It's a mess when it gets to years like this one.
So can soybeans be baled if their herbicide does allow for haying?
Yes. And so if the herbicide label does allow for haying, and there's a bunch of them that do, maybe the soybean field looked so bad it really wasn't even worth spraying for herbicide, and you know, later
on. Oh, sure,
on.
That's a possibility, you know, yeah.
Because there's some pre-plants are the same chemical formulations as the post-plant, and maybe the pre-plant does allow for haying, because it hasn't even started yet. So, you do have to be careful with haying your soybeans. It's not terribly easy, because leaves will fall right off. And all the good stuff is in the leaves. All the protein, all the digestible nutrients, it's all in the leaves. The stem itself, you can't really bale after you've harvested soybeans. You could, but that stem is like 10% less of actually if it's digestible. There's nothing in it. It's wood, basically. And so, you know, you got to make sure the leaves are on there. So that's a matter of baling it at the right moisture. And making sure that you're baling at the right time of day. Basically, it's like alfalfa. It's even more sensitive than alfalfa. You have to bale that right. Soybeans, they can be silaged, which offers more flexibility. But soybeans do not silage like corn silages because they do not have sugars in them. I mean, they're full of oils and not sugars. And you have to have those sugars for a good fermentation. So you can't actually mix a grass crop together. I'm not really sure how you would do this in the field, honestly, if somehow you can mix some corn, which is, and it's already too late for that.
Yeah.
So, but you can actually mix rolled corn into it. So grain or some kind of grain into it. You could even actually add molasses too. So just add actual sugar into that process. And of course you got to inoculate it as well and get that fermentation started. It won't be as palatable as corn silage because that fermentation isn't as good. It probably forms a different set of acids, like butyric acid, that cows don't really like as much. But they're still going to eat it because they're going to be hungry. So, you know, the haying and silaging time, if you're going to do one or the other, now is the optimal time. You want to do this right before the leaves start to turn yellow basically, once the beans have filled the pods as much as they can, if there are beans and pods on in the field, some fields were already past that point, but a lot of fields were just now starting to get to that hang point. So they need to be making some decisions. If A, they can do this, B, if there's enough yield there where it's even worth harvesting, and C, you know, what does it look like to do this hang or silaging? So, you know, soybeans, they're high in protein, but they're low in energy. It balances really well with the other thing that we're harvesting right now, or hang right now, which is corn stalks, which is low protein, but high energy. So you kind of have a balance there with your hays and all that. So it's a good idea to take a forage sample, of course, no matter what you're doing. Corn stalks, please take a nitrate sample. But with your soybean bales too, you got to know what you're feeding. You got to balance. This year will be more important than ever to have a proper balance of proteins, because we're feeding weird stuff now. So, I mean, it's everything. It's a firehouse sale.
Yeah.
So
people are getting really creative because they have to.
Yes, yes. And so right now it's not like the old way of just feeding the native and the fescue bales and getting them through. Now we're feeding all the feedstuffs. So we've got to completely reformulate our rations. So.
All right. Well, anything else you'd like to add on this topic?
Really, you know, I know it's just a bad situation for farmers out there, and I know they're just trying to feed whatever it is that they can possibly find. It's hard, honestly. So it's just a matter of finding what you can, but knowing precisely what you're feeding and getting creative. So
sure. All right, James Cooper with K-State Research and Extension Wildcat District. Thanks so much for being on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to continue on with more on the Mighty 690. You're listening to KGGF.